Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. This is Election Day, and millions of people are headed to the polls. A record 81 million plus voted early. Former President Donald Trump stayed up late, rallying supporters in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
It's unbelievable. Think of it. This is it. This is the last one that we're going to have to do.
American University political analyst Amy Dacey.
He feels like the path for him and his campaign is definitely to try and at least maybe not win over some voting blocks, but cut into margins that Biden saw successfully in 2020, whether it's with Hispanics, African-Americans.
Mr. Trump's gotten a last-minute endorsement from podcaster Joe Rogan. Vice President Harris got a boost from Lady Gaga and Oprah at a rally in Philadelphia. She spoke on the famous Rocky Steps.
It is my pledge to you that if you give me a chance to fight on your behalf as president, there is nothing in the world that will stand in my way.
UVA political analyst Larry Sabato gives Harris credit for speed.
She only had 3 months. No one has run a presidential campaign in such a short period in modern American history, certainly not in the television age.
7 battleground states could decide the presidential race. And if these voters in Raleigh, North Carolina are an indication, it'll be close.
The way that the economy's gone the last 4 years, really hoping that Trump gets reelected.
It's a pretty intense time, like with inflation and stuff like that. So it's definitely like a pretty serious election.
I want to see a woman president.
Voters are deciding on more than candidates today.
While Nebraska has a pair of measures for medical uses of marijuana, other states are asking about its recreational use.
Florida, North Dakota, and South Dakota all have ballot measures seeking to legalize recreational use of marijuana.
Helen Brewer is a policy specialist at the National Conference of State Legislatures.
There are 8 states that have ballot measures that, if passed, would clarify that a person must be a citizen in order to vote in an election.
It is already illegal to do so. Matt Piper, CBS News.
The strike is over at Boeing. Machinists like this man have voted to accept the company's proposal for a 38% wage increase over 4 years.
I think it would be best for everybody if everybody went back to work.
CBS's Carter Evans says the deal does include a trade-off.
What they aren't getting, and this was a big sticking point for Boeing employees, they wanted a reinstatement of their pension, and they did not get that. What they got instead was an increase to their 401k contributions.
S&P futures up 10. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Here's some good news. Community Stories starts on November 12th. It'll air on WFHR on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 with me, your host, Melissa Kay.
College basketball underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's team opened up their season with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross in Madison. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he's determined who his starting five are going to be.
That was my main message to him tonight. As we go on this journey over the next five and a half months, we have to be together because it's going to be different people on different nights. Who starts, in my mind, I've never talked about it and made a big deal of who is starting. Everybody knows they need to be ready.
In Milwaukee, number 18th ranked Marquette with a 102-62 win over Stony Brook. UW Green Bay lost their opener on the road at Oklahoma State 89-76 under new head coach Doug Gottlieb. Baseball, the Brewers' Matt Arnold has been named Major League Baseball's Executive of the Year. Pitcher Frankie Montez will become a free agent after declining his option. NBA, the Bucks battled but let it slip away in the final minute, losing in Cleveland 116-114. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz on Thursday with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment feed, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martha Stewart might be dealing with a hangover due to her displeasure with her biopic Martha on Netflix. While promoting her new cookbook during an appearance on a game show similar to Family Feud, she took a shot at Ryan Reynolds. When asked which actors she would like to hang out with in real life, she listed George Clooney, her pal Snoop Dogg, and Brad Pitt, but made a point to say Ryan Reynolds is not funny in real life, adding that he is very serious. She also acknowledged her comments might not go over so well since the two are neighbors in real life. Despite the final season of Succession bringing Kieran Culkin his first Golden Globe Award, the actor has still not seen the series finale. In a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Culkin said he missed it because he was in Poland filming a movie and then went right to a vacation with his family. The actor told Colbert he knows what happens, but just sort of missed his chance. If only there was a way he could still watch it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be cloudy and breezy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high 61 by around midday with temperatures dropping through the afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 36. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high of 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is here. It is election day. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Make sure you go to vote. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, November 5th. We made it, boys and girls. We made it to Election Day, and we're at the Civic Media Global Headquarters at the top of State Street, just a block off the Capitol Square here in Madison, where we have a very pretty set downstairs that we're just itching to show off to you. In fact, I think I can actually show it off right now. Let's see. Let me, if you're watching on social media, there it is. Look at that. That is a thing of beauty. And that's where Todd Alba and I will be from 8 p.m. on tonight. So this is kind of what the undercard, a long undercard for election results that'll get started after polls close tonight. But polls aren't even open yet in Wisconsin. They open up just 53 minutes from now, 7 a.m. till 8 p.m. And let's see, we've got to make a couple of adjustments here to make sure we add Mr. Bach in here. There we go. Mr. Bach is in the room with me here as we're continuing to make sure that we've got a wonderful program to bring to you today, including something a little bit different in our first hour here. It's got an election tie, but it's not exactly what you might expect. You might recall Top Chef Wisconsin and talking to Chef Dan Jacobs not talking to him, but following him. We finally got to talk to him because he's also being active in election matters, and that this guy who very nearly won the Top Chef competition is now urging folks to get out and vote today and to step up their civic engagement. And he is specifically showing his appreciation to Senator Tammy Baldwin. Now, there are a lot of things to keep in mind about this election. It really shouldn't be the last ad that you saw or the last piece of mail that you got. It should be 4 years worth of, or in Tammy Baldwin's case, 6 years worth of accomplishments. And for Dan Jacobs, that includes the pandemic relief program known as the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. It was something that saved untold numbers of restaurants, Dan Jacobs as well, in Milwaukee, and all the jobs that were saved for a time thanks to the Restaurant Revitalization Fund. So Dan Jacobs is looking forward to talking about that and his importance to Tammy Baldwin for that. I understand that there are folks who might not be hearing audio here, so I'm just going to double check my own settings. And yeah, got everything on that is supposed to be on. So hopefully you will be hearing some audio real soon as we work to get set up here
in our Madison headquarters. So, yeah. Dan Jacobs also talks about the Farm Bill. Why is a Milwaukee chef talking about the Farm Bill? And climate change. Why is a Milwaukee chef talking about climate change? Well, because the Farm Bill includes all kinds of programs that help conserve land, help provide clean air and land and water, not only because of a changing climate, but it's part of our food supply so that farmers can be as efficient as possible, especially with, you know, stronger storms that are coming through and everything else that's brought by the climate being like it is. And so Dan Jacobs would like to see a Farm Bill passed. Tammy Baldwin's been working on that. Somebody like Derek Van Orden has not. So anyway, more from Dan Jacob about that in just a little bit here. In our second hour, we're going to be joined by Deborah Kronmiller of the Wisconsin League of Women Voters. This is a nonpartisan group that is tireless in its advocacy for people to vote. And it doesn't matter which party or whether you're an independent or what. It's a matter of getting out and vote and learning about the issues. So they do talk about the issues from a nonpartisan perspective. And they have a very set feeling on this constitutional amendment that is on the ballot today that would simply change a word or two in the state constitution. It's redundant. It's not this referendum is not necessary. And the League of Women Voters is saying as much, that this is a wasteful amendment. But more importantly, if that change is made to the state constitution about citizens voting and proof of citizenship, the way the language is written, it will become easier for people to be challenged and potentially dropped from the voter rolls if they can't prove citizenship. And you might think that we're just talking about migrants here. No, we're talking about folks who are elderly, haven't seen their birth certificate in decades. We're talking about women who get married or divorced or go through some kind of a name change and don't have every single document up to date. Maybe that divorce or marriage just happened in the couple of weeks before the election. The whole thing is just ridiculous and unnecessary. And Deborah Kronmiller from the League of Women Voters is going to speak on behalf of a lot of other advocates saying, A, go vote. B, don't monkey with the Wisconsin Constitution. And then we have Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski will be joining us at 7:30, talking again about the importance of voting and what she sees as she has traveled all around the state, along with all of these campaigns with Vice President Kamala Harris, with Governor Tim Walz, with Senator Tammy Baldwin, with legislators. So we'll get her take on things. And then we'll wrap things up with Ben Wickler, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He'll join me along with Chad Holmes, and we will again talk about the conditions out there that we think are going to lead to a record turnout of voters. But of course, everybody is, how we like to say, nauseously optimistic about how things will go. There's a lot of signs that point in a positive direction for the country. I mean, you had that poll over the weekend that showed Vice President Harris was actually up in Iowa, although within the margin of error. So nobody's making the bold prediction that Kamala Harris is going to win Iowa. But if she's making that close, another sign being Donald Trump's rallies. I mean, one of the rally sites in Raleigh, North Carolina yesterday was, you know, basically a little over half full, a lot of empty seats there. And his language has become just so bleak. Same goes for his running mate, J.D. Vance. Again, just a personal opinion of mine, a loathsome individual whose closing message yesterday was that Vice President Kamala Harris is trash. So between him referring to her as trash and Trump referring to this accomplished woman as a low IQ individual, really should tell a lot of people, again, there are a lot of issues out there. We talked about the Restaurant Revitalization Fund as just one example. But maybe another example is just straight up misogyny. Maybe it's just time to take out the trash on some of, well, when I was a kid, they were referred to as male chauvinist pigs. Anybody else remember that? And we thought those days were not entirely behind us, but certainly dwindling down. And instead, we look at the top of the ticket and the choices on the Republican side. I feel for my right of center friends, and I talk to them. I read what they're putting up, and they're not happy. You know, they were willing to try out, you know, this outside approach from Donald Trump in 2016 and maybe even vote for him again in 2020 against Joe Biden. But then he tried to stage a coup. He tried to overturn an election. And because he can't stop lying about that, it really starts with that. Because he couldn't stop lying about the 2020 election, I think it made it easier for people to continue to see that he lies about just about everything else that's out there. And it just makes it harder for his supporters to stick around and still be supporters in the 2024 election. So again, there are signs, but everybody still has the reminder of what happened in 2016 when the signs were late breaking for Donald Trump. And nobody wanted to believe that. Said, no, Hillary Clinton's got this. You know, those late signs, that won't be enough, until they were, because people stayed home. People thought Hillary Clinton wasn't perfect. She didn't come to Wisconsin, whatever the case may be. They voted third party. So many more people voted just for Jill Stein than was the margin between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And I'm not saying every one of those folks was going to vote for Hillary Clinton. They weren't. But there are a lot of people who probably would have and probably regret what they brought upon this country. So again, my own personal opinion is any kind of a third party vote today is an absolute waste of your vote. There is only one way to send a message that we're going to stop in this country playing footsie with fascism. We're going to stop this talk about authoritarian strongmen. We're going to stop this momentum toward a Supreme Court that feels like the Constitution is more a set of guidelines than founding principles, as it were. This is our chance to do that. But to do it, everybody has to show up. Every eligible voter has to get out there and do their part. And so the polls will open in just about 42 minutes. They will then be open until 8 p.m. And then you get more of me later in the evening. Civic media coverage of election night will begin at 6 p.m. with Jane Mattinair and Pete Schwabe, right? Pete Schwabe? Greg's over. Greg, yell hello over there, would you? Or is your mic working over there?
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh, good.
Look at our guest has arrived. It's a desk. If you're watching the live stream, that joke makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But yes, I am here. We're getting things done. It's very, very great. And it's good to be up here in Madison with you and soon to be with Jane. And it's going to be an exciting, exciting day.
It is. It's going to be a long day. there will be at least one nap involved when I get done at 8 a.m. and before I come back at 8 p.m. And in the meantime, you all got to do your part and get out and vote and then get other people to vote. All right. We'll take a pause here. We'll unpack some more of the headlines. And then Milwaukee Chef Dan Jacob joins us coming up in just in less than 15 minutes. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Election Day morning, when you're here, you're up north, even when we're in Madison on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan for reliable power and peace of mind? Propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever they'd be like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number 3.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19. We are the boy band. Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Continuing election coverage you won't find anywhere else, including results when the polls close on November 5th. I'm Melissa Kay. Count on us on air at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, on the web, WFHR.com, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
At a moment like this, I can't help but wonder, what would Jimmy Buffett do?
Funny you should ask, Al.
I'd say, pull me something tall and strong, make it a hurricane.
Oh, no, it is not 5 o'clock somewhere. Not yet. And frankly, by the time we get results, it might be 5 a.m. somewhere. We'll see on this election day morning. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Folks watching us on YouTube and Facebook, a few of you mentioned not hearing audio. So if you're watching us now and sticking with us and now hearing some sound, feel free to put something in the comment section so that we know, because we know it's going out through the radio all right, going through the Civic Media app. But obviously, this is why we do the dress rehearsals, and why I probably shouldn't have skipped mine. But be that as it may, here we are getting set for election night coverage. And yeah, when I talk about not knowing things until 5 a.m., we need to explain something called the Red Mirage. I know it sounds like it should be. It sounds like it should be something more.
Like it's the Aladdin sequel. No one wanted it.
But no, the Red Mirage is the term for the difference between votes that are counted early and votes that come in late. Now, we're living in a time now where so much of rural America is voting Republican, while folks in America's cities are voting Democratic. In rural areas, because there are fewer people in each ward, those wards get counted faster. They get reported faster. And Roger, thank you for the comment about no audio on Facebook. We will just keep working on that. So you're going to initially see partial results that reflect a whole lot of rural territory and a whole lot of territory that typically votes Republican. Then as the bigger cities are counted, and it does take longer to count those, whether by machine, by hand, whatever the case may be, those results come in a little bit later. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, one of those state fair attractions with the water guns and the horse race, you know, and the first water gun isn't shooting anything for a while. It's not spitting out any results, but then it does, and then it catches up. So it would be understandable in any ordinary circumstance to say that, hey, wait, what's happening here? The Republicans were winning and now they're not. Now it's exacerbated by Donald Trump lying and saying that that is proof of fraud rather than the way the process has always worked. And let's be clear, whatever the numbers look like, Greg, Donald Trump's going to declare victory tonight. I mean, he just is. And it doesn't matter if there's a red mirage. It doesn't matter if this is, you know, a Kamala Harris runaway. He's still going to say that there was fraud and he's going to declare victory. And so that's why I want to get on this ahead of time, because it's just a matter of fact. We almost could start a betting pool. When does Donald Trump first claim victory?
Yeah, actually, we talked about this yesterday on Matt and Air on Air, and I said that I think his supporters will call it when the East Coast closes, and I think he will call it when the West Coast closes, and it will just be constant barrage on social media about all of the non-problems happening all over the country with very safe vote counts happening. I think you said it. There's 1,800 clerks in the state alone, and personally, I feel like when you doubt their abilities, that is a huge slap in the face to what they've made their career to be, which is keeping our process safe, fair, and ongoing. So, yeah, they're going to talk. They're not going to stop talking for years.
Yeah, right.
But as long as we've got the processes in place, the safeguards are on, we are good to go, in my opinion.
Well,
and don't get intimidated by all that stuff. Just keep going. Just pour a drink, talk to some friends, whatever. But don't let that get you nervous.
Or also go to sleep.
Yeah,
this doesn't have to be an all nighter for everybody. And you know, when you get up, the final votes will have been tabulated in most places. Some places will be close, necessitate a recount. There's always the prospect of, you know, that somebody has a hiccup somewhere and that delays the results. But there has never been anything that shows that these hiccups are some kind of sign of widespread fraud. And frankly, when there has been monkey business the past 4 years, who's been doing it? Take a guess.
Maybe a landlord in Redding, California who forged all or did voter fraud for Trump.
Yes.
Or it's always the guy who stole two sample ballots to show that it wouldn't be right. Well, guess what? They saw him on camera. They went to his house. They got those back. It was corrected.
Yes. And the it happens over and over again with every election that there's always a few idiots who try to game things and somehow try to prove that the system is flawed, which, as we've said before, yes, you can rob a bank, but that doesn't, if you go rob the bank and go, see, I proved it could be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same goes for voter fraud, just as it goes for mail fraud. If you're sending in, you know, fraudulent ballots and all kinds of, you know, wire fraud, you name it, that happens. So the results will come in as they come in, as they get counted up, as they get reported. We're going to be reporting them right here on Civic Media. We've got our team at Up North News that will be posting social media updates all throughout the evening as well, talking to voters, talking to candidates, and hopefully, you know, being able to bring some kind of results, maybe enough of a trend that, you know, you can go to sleep thinking that you have a good idea. But even if you don't, guess what? Todd Alba and I are going to be anchoring Civic Media coverage from 8 p.m. till I'm probably going to bail out at midnight. Todd will probably go later. I'll go take a nap, and I'll be right back here at 6 a.m. tomorrow to pick it up. Yeah, I know. you get in early. Will you send me a note when you go to bed just to kind of rub it in, going, hits?
I guarantee you I won't fall asleep before 11 o'clock tonight.
Okay. Well, then I don't feel quite so bad. But, yeah, again, Jane Matinair and Pete Schwabe will have coverage from 6 until 8. Todd Alba and I from 8 onward. I will be checking in with my colleagues from Courier Newsroom all across the country. I've got colleagues in just about every swing state standing by to check in throughout our election night coverage to let you know what's happening from coast to coast and from border to border here in Wisconsin as well. All right, when we come back, Luke Mathers and I finally got a chance to visit with Milwaukee chef Dan Jacobs, talk about Top Chef and his election advocacy efforts. That's next. You're up north.
What country am I in?
It doesn't matter. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's always on 5 in Margaritaville, come to think of it.
Yeah, I heard that.
You've been there, haven't you?
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Commodity groups and farm organizations definitely encouraging the rural population to get out and vote. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, one of those. We'll hear from him next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, reminding all farmers, rural community members, and agribusiness owners, your vote matters today. And it's not just about the presidential election. He said there is responsibility at all tiers of government that could impact Wisconsin agriculture.
Food is vital to sustain life on a daily basis, so farmers are really doing what the bishop in La Crosse Diocese once said, you are doing God's work, and providing the food and fiber for everyday life. And so, you know, can we make a difference in what happens in the future? Yes. And we've always talked about within the organization how your voice really does matter, whether it's at the county level, the state level, or the national level, and making sure that your farm or your business can stay in business and prosper for generations to come.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. As we lean into Election Day Tuesday, markets a little stronger in overnight trade. Numbers are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
So the dairy trade on Monday wasn't impressed with all the poll activity. Barrel cheese dropped another 0.75 cents to 186. 40-pound block cheese on Monday was down 0.75 cents to 183. Double-A butter gained another 0.5 cents to 267.5 per pound. This morning, December new crop corn's unchanged at 417. November new crop beans are up a nickel at 987. January beans up 2 at 9.99 a bushel. The December wheat is up 3 at 5.72. July new crop wheat up a penny and a half right now at 6.06. That's just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand rolling into an Election Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy and breezy with scattered showers and thunderstorms today. Our high 61 by around midday with temperatures dropping through the afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 36. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high of 51. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for Election Day coverage. Wisconsin Decides 2024. We'll have all the news of Election Day as it unfolds from our election headquarters. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
We will tell you why this song from Elton John is part of today's history lesson coming up in 15 minutes. But first, we had a chance to talk to Milwaukee chef Dan Jacobs and Luke Mathers and I. As fans of the show, he's been doing some media appearances to talk not just about the show, but also about getting out the vote and some of the important issues in this election. Let's give a listen to that conversation. And Chef Dan Jacobs joins us now. Dan, thank you for joining us on Up North News Radio. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, Luke and I talked about the show week after week. He's already a big fan of the whole franchise. I was a big fan of the season, and we're really looking forward to talking to you a bit about the show. But I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the timely matters first and your decision to be involved in Get Out the Vote efforts and supporting folks like Senator Tammy Baldwin. You don't have to do that, like I say to a lot of people, but you choose to. Why is that?
You know, I think getting out, I choose to because I think getting out the vote is one of the most important things we could do. Civically, this is how we, we choose our elected officials. These people work for us, and this is the most important time that we do this. It's not just, you know, on the top of the ballot. We're talking all the way down through to, you know, your local officials. The local officials are sometimes where I think, you know, change is most affected, the city and the county levels. But, you know, I've always been a big advocate of voting, just getting out that vote. And it's, you know, I think it's just really important. I think, you know, places like Milwaukee, if we can get out the vote and really, you know, show a real strong voter presence, I think, you know, we can really kind of affect change, you know, not just locally and at a state level, but also at a national level. Obviously, we're one of the, you know, probably biggest swing states that there is.
And then specifically as business leaders for Tammy Baldwin, what prompts that?
I mean, Tammy's amazing. As a small business owner, you know, I'm trying to use my voice in this election. You know, we need more elected officials like Tammy who prioritize things like healthcare, childcare, capital access, and support entrepreneurs who can, you know, start their growth, start their businesses. You know, Tammy's had her back during COVID, especially. Like, I think I remember back, you know, with Independent Restaurant Coalition, reaching out to the senator and asking her for support for the Restaurant Revitalization Fund, and she was always there. We were able to get $28.6 billion for independent restaurants across the country, and you know, she saved quite a few restaurants, including our own, because of that. So, you know, being able to show a little bit of support any way I can is just great. I'm, you know, the restaurants, Dan Esrev, we don't take a political stance. We really try to, you know, kind of just stay even. But me as a person, I see what Tammy Baldwin does in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and I have to be able to speak out and support her.
And Dan, you referenced that Election Day is a really good time for civic engagement, but it's not the only time for civic engagement. We're seeing these new organizations that are popping up as well to be advocating for issues like that, healthcare, access to capital for small businesses like restaurant owners. One organization here in Wisconsin that's doing a lot with that is Main Street Alliance. Can you tell us a little bit more about your work with Main Street Alliance and what it's been like to be involved in not just the days leading up to an election, but kind of year-round advocacy?
I mean, you're absolutely correct. Like, I always look at the election as like the gateway to your civic engagement. You know, basically our elected officials are a phone call away at any time. I literally have Congress on my cell phone. And all you have to do is, you know, operator answers the phone, you tell them where you want to go, and you get right into that. They direct you right to that office. Sure, you're not going to speak to the senator or congressperson like right away, but being able to tell your story, being able to tell them how you feel about a certain issue really kind of generates momentum. And I think that's where organizations like Main Street Alliance really come in strong. We're able to kind of organize a lot of voices going in the same direction. And, you know, especially at a national level, squeaky wheel gets the grease. And it really helps having a lot of voices kind of saying the same things. I got involved with Main Street Alliance back in 2020. I met Sean Fedeplace, who was kind of, you know, just the kind of the boots on the ground guy for Main Street Alliance in those days. And it was great to know that there was like an organization that not just for restaurants, but for small businesses in general that had our back, that wanted to see, you know, things change and wanted to see, you know, the things that make our community so special. Like you look around Wisconsin, you look around the city of Milwaukee, you know, independent restaurants, I'm just going to speak on independent restaurants because that's what I know. We're the gateway to communities. We're the gateway to how you learn about a culture. And I think it's just so important to have organizations like Main Street Alliance and Independent Restaurant Coalition and the James Beard Foundation just really having our back.
Well, that also leads to a question about one of the issues, and that would be the Farm Bill. We've talked about it on this program repeatedly, especially through our climate segments, talking about conservation programs. But we always seem to talk about it from that farm standpoint, and yet you are one of many chefs and people in the restaurant industry who signed a letter asking Congress to pass a farm bill and to protect these conservation-related programs. Why would a big city chef and others in your field do something like that?
I mean, our relationships are directly related between farmers and us. Like I think my longest standing in most rewarding relationships I've had over the years working in restaurants has been with farmers. We use a group of farmers, you know, I see them every week at the farmer's market. We spend hundreds of dollars a week at the farmer's market. I think during the height of summer, which is because of climate change is more like September, we spend like $1,200 a week at the farmer's market. I signed on with the James Beard Foundation's climate change effort because I thought it was incredibly important to make sure that the Farm Bill, which is a volume of a bill, specifically puts aside, so they have a $20 billion conservation fund. It's in the Farm Bill. But the House version of it, it's kind of broad, and it also, you know, really is, it's kind of a large gray area as to what that means. I think what we're trying to do is specifically ask for climate smart agriculture. And these are things that have been being done, crop rotation, tillage, mulching. I mean, these are things that have been done forever, but I think it really is one of those things that kind of helps farmers be able to do things in the right way. And if people don't believe in climate change, I mean, it's crazy to me to think that it doesn't. I mean, we see it in the seasons now. Like, I remember 10 years ago, we would start getting peas and rhubarb in like late April, early May. Well, now we're not getting that stuff until like June. Everything pushes back. Like I said earlier, like the height of summer, which used to be like middle of August, it's now more like middle of September. Everything keeps getting pushed back a little bit more, and we see the effects of change. Or like this year, we had, you know, huge rains and then nothing. And so, you know, the farmer who grows our greens and our cabbages for Dandan, Landcraft Farms, I mean, they had whole crops lost because just blown out with water. And this is something that's relatively new within the last 10 years, and that's directly related to climate change.
And as Pat mentioned at the top, you're a very busy man of late, and you didn't have to take the time out to do the advocacy that you're doing. Part of the reasons why you're so busy, Dan, I believe, is coming up as one of the finalists for this past season of Top Chef. And so Pat has teased me throughout since the Wisconsin announcement about how much my love for Top Chef is pretty evident when he started talking to me about it. I was geeking pretty hard when the announcement for the Wisconsin season came out. Can you tell us
I can fact check that. That is true. That is.
I was over the moon. And for me, I don't really love the term foodie. It's not like something that I usually typically use to describe myself. But my wife and I have a lot of reverence for food. Like, we enjoy cooking together. Our favorite things to do is to go out and eat at new restaurants. We recently had a date night at Dandan. It was fantastic.
Nice.
So hats off to you there. We couldn't choose from the menu, just the few. Like, there were a few things that we wanted to get that we were just like, we're not going to be able to eat this time, so next time we're gonna nice. Get those items. But can you tell us a little bit about the experience of being on Top Chef, being the hometown kid in representing Milwaukee in a Wisconsin edition of the season?
Well, I mean, first off, it was terrifying. Like, I looked around the room when we first got there, and I realized I was the only one from Wisconsin, and it was like, oh, shit, I have to do really well. Like, oh, all right, game on. So it was definitely a little jarring, but it's, I mean, man, they really, you know, it's tough, and it's more mentally tough, I think, than anybody really lets on. Like, it's definitely, like, it's the people that last the longest, I think, are the people that are the most, like, mentally tough. They're able to kind of, you know, I used to joke around, but I used to say, like, just be like water and just let things happen, because you're completely out of control. And this is from a bunch of people, like chefs, who are like control freaks, you know, and we all of a sudden you're taken out of your ability to control what's going on. And it's tough, you know. It was incredibly fun. I met so many people that I'm going to be friends with for the rest of my life. You know, it was to be able to get all the way to the finale and basically come in second place. I'm incredibly happy with the performance that I was able to put forth. I even said to Danny when he won, I hugged him and I told him that, you know, I'm happy to be his number two anytime. And it, you know, it was close, but it was, you know, it came down to Danny made like something that nobody's ever done before. Like this candied seaweed cantaloupe dessert was amazing. It was delicious, but it also elicited like a memory, a childhood memory for Tom. As soon as he said that, I was like, well, I didn't win. Like, I was like, I'm not going to win this. But it was, I mean, it was so much fun, and it was such a cool experience. There was nothing like it. And given the opportunity to do it again, I would do it in a second.
Oh, I mean, you applied many, many times. You were very, you persevered. you were going to get there, and then you did get there. And I think we really did see the mental fatigue, the anguish of not having control over what you're making. And so that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, of all the different things you made, it's not your favorite, because that's probably something familiar. What were you most proud of from the standpoint of, you need to come up with something fast, and you did it and you nailed it. Which one were you happiest about?
You know, I look back and I think it coincides with my favorite challenge as well. And I think that was the Indigenous Foods Challenge. First off, that challenge is really cool because of the lack of spotlight, I think, that cuisine gets. You know, there's Sean Sherman and Elena Terry, who are both friends of mine. They cooked for us before the challenge, and Sean asked this question about, has any chef actually eaten in Indigenous restaurant? And none of us said yes. And that to me was just like, it was like, man, this needs to change. Like, we need to correct this. It was, you know, it was a difficult challenge in the fact they took away all of the colonial ingredients. So anything that was post colonial times, so like butter, sugar, flour, citrus, like these are things that, like, especially like citrus, I mean, we use that all the time. And so it was like, okay, you really got to rethink how you do stuff. Like, how do I get that sort of zing that I would get out of citrus, or, you know? And it was really fun. And the dish I ended up making was like basically using a whole sunflower, like taking a vegetable and using it all the way through, and then fortifying it with goose, which is something I don't usually cook. And it was really fun. I was, you know, I'm most proud of the fact that, like, I basically, on Top Chef, I didn't really cook anything that was on any of our menus, or, you know, I basically cooked, like, from my heart on all the challenges and just kind of, you know, see what would happen. It was really fun.
I could ask you so many more questions about it, but we really appreciate you joining us, Dan, because I'm serious, just a huge fan. It was incredible to see. We really appreciate you for your advocacy and the work that you're doing in the community as well.
Yes, you are. Dan, thanks again so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chef.
And my apologies, we had a little audio issue with that one as well, but we persevered, and as Tony likes to say from up in Ashland, just for Greg's benefit, what a great chef testant he was. Back with today's history lesson after this. You're up north.
And he sends him to the finest school in town. Leave on. Leave on.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers Mondays at 5:30 on WFHR, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
Ready, set, go!
Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about rich folks. They just keep getting richer. And I bet nobody listening to this broadcast will be surprised to learn that since 2020, the five richest billionaires have more than doubled their wealth in just a few years. I mean, the system really does reward the winners. But I think it's time to shift the balance. And me and the 6 million members at Work Money have some ideas. It's on us to pull our chair up to the table where those folks are making decisions. As consumers, we vote with our wallets. As citizens and constituents, we hold elected officials accountable to what we need from them. That's what we do at Work Money. You want to get involved? You can text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Join us. Help make sure your voice is heard. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Jamaica, off the Florida Keys.
'Twas on this day in 1988 that the Beach Boys had gone 22 years without a number one hit, but broke that with Kokomo, without Brian Wilson, from the movie Cocktail. It was their first number one hit since Good Vibrations in 1966, again this day in 1988, as part of today's history lesson. A lot of birthdays today, starting here with happy birthday to Art Garfunkel, 83 years old today. Part of Simon and Garfunkel, and part of this classic.
And friends just can't be found like a bridge over trouble. I will lay me down.
Graham Parsons from The Byrds. The late Graham Parsons was born this day in 1946. Passed away far too soon at the age of 26. Kevin Jonas, the oldest of the Jonas Brothers, is 37 today. Yes, one of the Jonas Brothers is 37. Let's see. There was a number one hit this day in 1966 by the Monkees. On this day in 1872, in defiance of the law, Susan B. Anthony voted for the very first time and was fined $100 because women would not be given the right to vote for nearly another 50 years in this country. Bryan Adams has a birthday today. He is 65. Pretty soon he'll be able to do this song here about the summer of, well, he'll be 69 one of these days. See, it's the summer I turned 69.
But I turned 69.
But instead, Bryan Adams is 65 today. Kris Jenner is 69. Tatum O'Neal is 61 years old today.
Oh.
And Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits is 77. Roger puts on Facebook, I'd like to wish a happy 77th birthday to Peter Noon. If you haven't seen him live, he is still very funny and entertaining. So thanks for that, Roger. Appreciate that. Let's see, what else do we have for birthdays here? That's it for that. We've got some music notes here. Why were we playing Elton John before? Because his fourth album, Madman Across the Water, was released this day in 1971 with Levon and this single. Oh, you know what? Tony up in Ashland reminds me I missed a birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Governor Tony Evers is 73 years old today. Mike Score. You don't know him, but you know what group he's sang with. A Flock of Seagulls. He is 67 years old today.
He has a lot of opinions on this song.
And on this day in 2003, Jimmy Buffett won his first ever Country Music Association Award when It's 5 o'clock Somewhere, his duet with Alan Jackson, was named Vocal Event of the Year. You've heard the phrase, Elvis has left the building. It actually was rooted in something that actually happened. And it happened this day in 1971 at the old Met Center in Bloomington, Minnesota. Remember, that's where the Minnesota North Stars played. It was right next to Metropolitan Stadium, where the Twins and the Vikings used to play in Bloomington. The Mall of America and a monster-sized IKEA is on that site now. But it was at the Met Center where Elvis had finished a concert. People were hanging around. Finally, announcer Al Devorin got on the mic and told the crowd, "Elvis has left the building." The phrase soon entered the cultural lexicon used to signal that an event is truly over. Stop hanging around. No autographs, no photos. He did not choose you to go to the after party. Go home.
Now you know they left because they turned the lights on. Like, maybe they're going to do an encore. Maybe they'll do an encore.
No, the lights are on. Go home. The party's over.
Yeah.
This is National Redhead Day. This is National Chinese Takeout Day. And this is World Tsunami Awareness Day. Well, that's kind of a killjoy. Can't really do anything with...
Wait, hey, guys, we're aware.
Yeah, we're aware. We are. Tsunamis, bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got that.
Lasagna, good.
Wait. No, we did lasagna awareness
I
already.
Know.
Oh, yes, it was good. Sports, the Milwaukee Bucks, they've now fallen to 1-6. Cleveland is now 8-0. The Cavaliers slipped past the Bucks, 116-114. The Bucks were without Giannis and Chris Middleton due to injuries. They will host the Utah Jazz on Thursday at the Fiserv Forum. And yes, there's already talk about whether Giannis will be traded before the NBA trade deadline, which I don't know when that is. I just know he's not going to be traded. So the sooner we can get to whatever this deadline is, the better.
Just with the just negativity. It just started.
I know. It's just all right. The trading deadline, here it is February 4th, it looks like. February 8th, rather. Okay. We're going to have to put up with this chatter for a while. Or the Bucks are just going to have to start winning some games.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about that constitutional referendum on the ballot today. And then we've got Ben Wickler and Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is here. It is election day. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Make sure you go to vote. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Christmas, when we were growing up, was different. It was about being hunkered down in your hometown and hearing the same stories Dad always told about Christmases past. While I like those traditions, I wanted something easier. This year, we're all meeting in Alexandria, Minnesota. The kids, their kids, card games, hot chocolate, all the outdoor fun, and oh, we'll still tell stories, but we'll also be making new stories, too.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.